Lord, we only want what you have for us. Not what this world has for us. Not even what I have, God, as a preacher, God, but just what you have. So if you would please take a coal from the fire, burn off from my mind, my heart, my very lips, foolish babbling, profane, idle chatter, tasty trifles even. Take them all from me, God. That tonight the only thing that we would receive is what your Spirit has for us. God, I stand on the promise of your word in Revelation where it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the angel says to the churches. If there truly is an angel above our church, a messenger, God, may he do his work now and we hear exactly what he has for us. We love and thank you. Exalt your name above every other, for you are worthy. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight is a very common, familiar theme. It's extremely convicting because everybody, the Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. Amen. What we're going to look at is such a pitch-perfect picture of the Christian life in the Old Testament that there's a tendency to not believe that something can be so clear. But believe it, today the Holy Spirit has given us a message for our lives. And just like I showed the men last night, the opportunities are abounding. Watch what I'm talking about. Chapter 12, verse 1, 2 Chronicles. Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord. Please give me your attention. If you remember last week, we looked at the beginning of Rehoboam's life. Rehoboam is the King Solomon's son whom he appointed. And God gave him an amazing word last week. He was going to get up and he was going to go to the next town and he was going to smash Jeroboam and take his kingdom back. You remember? But the man of God said to him, I don't want you to do that. And he obeyed. And because he obeyed the man of God and didn't take authority over something that he could have in the flesh, that spiritually speaking, he took the low seat. Are you with me? God blessed him. But remember what we talked about last week? There's still a whole lot of living to do. And with those blessings of God, you got to be so careful because you'll hear it over and over and over again. You'll hear it from your neighbor. You hear it from your friend. You'll hear it from your folks. Well, I used to go to church. Well, back in the day, I used to do this. I had this. I did that. But what happened was I got married. And then, you know, you got to focus on, you know, taking care of your wife. You know, God finally brought me a man, and you know, I have to take care of him. Man, my job just wants me to work so hard. And you know, you got to make the money while it's there. You know, I heard Pastor Ryan say, I got to strike while the iron's hot. So what happened to Rehoboam? When Rehoboam had established and he strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. It's a funny thing. You don't realize how many people are watching you until you screw up, huh? You have those worldly friends who are always looking at you and saying, oh, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. I thought you look at you now. You know what I'm talking about? That's what's going on the outside. Let me tell you what's really going on the inside. I thought this was real. I thought it was real. But if you can't make it, then it must not be real. Because I thought you were the real deal. On the outside, though, you're like, you're hearing them say, oh, look at the Christian. I thought you were me. I thought that here's the real you. But on the inside, they're crying because they're dying and they know it. I had a sad conversation today. An old friend of mine from way back in the day, original business guy's name is Bruce Edelman. Him and his wife, Susan, came into the shop, got to be late 60s, early 70s. And I generally don't try to shove my faith down people's throat, but I do try to live it out so that it's a witness to them, you know? And he knows that my mom is Jewish, and he goes, oh, when is your mom going to come back onto our side? And I said, what do you mean your side? Well, you know, I know your mom's Jewish, and that makes you Jewish. And I said, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I was wondering, when are you guys going to come to church? And she was, oh, no, that wouldn't go. I said, I tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll go to temple with you if you go to church with me. Well, we don't go to temple. So then what makes you Jewish? Well, I was born Jewish. You were not born Jewish. Nobody's born Jewish. Maybe you're a cultural Jew, but what happens when you die, I said to Bruce and his wife. His wife says, she jumps in, she goes, he's going to go to heaven. And I go, under what authority do you say that, though, Susan? Well, because people who don't do bad things go to heaven. I said, Susan, I know Bruce a long time. Are you saying he's never done bad things? Well, he's never done really bad things. I said, oh, so people who don't do really bad things get to go to heaven? I don't want to talk about this anymore. And I said, well, I didn't bring up the whole religion thing. And Bruce says, how did we wind up talking about religion with you again? I said, I didn't bring up religion. You asked me when my mom was coming back to your side, because I told you now my mom's born again, and now I'm asking you when you're going to come to church. Well, don't hold your breath for that one. I said, listen, I'll leave you with this, I said. If you wake up in the middle of the night one night wondering what's going to happen when you die, because people your age, it could happen any day. I said, you just give me a call and you're always welcome. Well, I thank Susan, such a gracious deal. Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you. Probably won't take it, but I thank you for inviting us. You're very welcome. I'll be praying for you guys. Thank you. How did I get into that story? Oh, yes, because people are watching us. People are watching us. Believe me when I tell you, you would not believe the influence you have over people's life, or should I even say in people's lives, until you screw up. And it's kind of a weird thing. It's almost like, has anybody go fishing here? You go fishing, right? You go fishing. You ever see those lines that they have, and like every foot there's another hook on it? The bait, it's like, what is it called? Chicken rig? Is that what they call it? What do you call it? A saviki rig, where you cast it out, not the little one for the little tiny one, but the bigger one, I mean for bigger bait fish, and you throw it out there and you put anything on there, and when you reel it in, you don't know which hook's going to have stuff on it. Okay. It's like a trolling line almost. They just let it out there and it's like hooks everywhere. Hooks, 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 hooks. And then they pull them in and they take the fish off the hooks as they come in. It's almost like a, what do you call it, ceviche? Right, almost like that. That's how our Christianity is, and we don't even realize it. We don't realize it until we screw up. I'll leave you with that for a little bit. Verse 2 says, and it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because he had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, people without number who came with him out of Egypt, the Lubim and the Sukkim and the Ethiopians, and he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Please give me your attention. He says because he forsook the Lord, God brought upon him tragedy. Now, first thing you have to notice here is God doesn't do that anymore. God does not punish us for bad behavior. As a matter of fact, more often than that, God will reward our bad behavior in the hopes that we will be so convicted that God will still continue to bless us. It's a crazy thing. New Testament, God reigns on the just and the unjust. God does not hold our sins against us. It's kind of a strange thing. There's a double thing going on here. One is you're forgiven of all your sins. The other one is, though, every time you sin, it just falls off. However, you guys do remember we talked about the law of God. God, there are certain things that God cannot bless. God cannot bless finances that don't first offer him. God cannot bless relationships that are done apart from him. There are certain things that the law of the Lord, which is perfect, converting the soul, the Bible says, I believe in Psalm 19, he does not transgress his own law, so to speak. Are you understanding me? That will make more sense as we continue. Then Shemaiah, the prophet, came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I have also left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdom of the nations. This is so crazy, guys. He says, I want you to know there is a difference between what you do to yourself and what I do to you. What I allow to happen in your life, I'm going to make very obvious to you. So many Christians, as we talked about at the beginning of the study, they find themselves constantly in mediocrity, constantly in the place of wondering why things never happen for them. There's this inability to find time to pray, this inability to find time to read the word, this inability to be obedient to scriptures that God has showed them, this idea that God has for you. Let me take it a step to you this way. And I am sorry to be so direct, but I do want to hope that there's a little bit of the Lord's Spirit in this. I know women who have husbands that are cheaters, that have nothing to do with God. They're not interested. They don't want God. And as a matter of fact, most of these women, their husbands aren't even interested in them. They stick around for one reason and one reason only. They think they got no place else to go. They think God wants me to be here and suffer. They tell themselves that for this reason. Because what they really tell themselves is I'm fat, I'm ugly, and I'm old, and nobody will want me. And God says, you are not bound to a man who abuses you physically, mentally, spiritually, sexually. You are not bound to a man who wants you to leave. They're not interested in God. You're staying there, torturing yourself. And God says, I got so much more for you. God says, I've set the table in abundance. I have a bountiful feast for you. Why don't you pull up and dine? I can't, because that will mean I will have to, what? Well, I've been with this man so long. And for some of us, it's I've been with that woman so long. And God says, you're not bound to that man. His word specifically says that. Are you suggesting that a woman is going to divorce? The Bible says God hates divorce. Are you saying that there are women here who need to divorce their husbands? Exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that nothing is sadder than to watch a man abuse a woman and her telling herself that she's just nasty and old and she deserves it, or she's got no place else to go. What we're looking at here and what we're going to continue to look at through the end of this chapter is the saddest thing in the world. He lives his whole life, Rehoboam, and instead of having a giant kingdom stretching out over hundreds and hundreds of miles, he winds up in this little town just holding on to it. And whenever he does wrong, ready? Listen to this. He does something wrong, and then he goes back to God when life goes bad. And then, okay, God's not mad at me anymore. And then he screws up again, something goes wrong, and then he goes back to God. And that's how we are with our marriages. That's how with our business. That's how with our personal life. Some of us, we only read the Bible when things are really bad. We only pray with our wife when we want to, well, maybe, Maybe this will, maybe if nothing else works, maybe prayer will work. You think so? I don't know. I can't seem to keep a job. Maybe it's because you smoke too much herb. No, it ain't that. The Bible calls that witchcraft. Oh, yeah? Then why did he make it? I don't know. Why don't you go eat another mushroom hanging out of cow dung and tell yourself that God made that too? Logic that some people apply to their lives in the hopes of making them think that God's okay with what they're doing astonishes me. When the truth of the matter is, God's okay with whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you're okay with living a mediocre life. God's not going to take away your salvation for drinking a beer, smoking a joint, having sex out of wedlock. God's probably not even going to take away your salvation for cheating. He's probably not even going to take your salvation away for murder. But don't complain when your life is in the toilet, because God cannot bless a life that does that.
Well, you just said that I could still do that and get saved, right?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want to take that risk, you have at it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay in the blessings of the Lord. God has set before us these giant pools. One of them, all the way over here, it's got piranhas and sharks in it. You swim in that, don't be surprised if you get eaten, right? This one here has jellyfish. You swim in that, you're going to get stung. This one here has acid rain. Don't be surprised if your skin gets stained and burnt. This one here, it's clear. Doesn't even have chlorine. It's just one of those perfect pools. You could even put fish in it if you wanted to. Want to ask me why we find ourselves swimming in all those pools? Why? Why? Now we're still swimming. Look at this guy. Where did I leave off? 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captain of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out, and then they would take them back into the guard room. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah. You see this? Here it is. It's become a show for him. He loses everything that his father left for him. He loses everything that was a blessing in his life. So you know what he starts to do? He starts to make fake. They stole the gold shields. Shishak and the king of Egypt came and he stole the gold away. So he says, yeah, we don't have the gold shields anymore. You know what? Let's make them out of bronze. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to put them in a special room. That way, when I get to the king's house, I want everybody to walk out with the bronze shields. Okay, he's gone. Put them away. It's just a show at this point. And every time something goes wrong, well, he humbles himself. And things went well. Things went well in Judah. His house, everything was okay in his house. Listen, everything's okay. You're not doing anything, though. You're not doing anything. You're experiencing no blessings. Your job is fruitless still. You're not getting to any level. You're miserable. I think about this for you young guys. It's like you go about the motion, but do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus yet? Or are you just here because dad told you to be here? It blows me away. It's like,
I hope that's working for y'all. Not me. Not me. I am tired of a show. You have to wake up one morning and say to yourself, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the show. I'm not living for anybody anymore except God. You got to wake up one day and go, forget everybody. Forget everybody. I don't care how much you fight with your husband. I don't care how much you fight with your wife. I don't care if your mother hates you, your father's sick. I don't care if your brothers. I don't care what it is in your life anymore. Someday you must wake up and go, you know what? God, I'm all yours. And when you're in the shower, you're going to be praying. And when you're walking the dog, you're going to be praying. Every time you have a chance to get alone with God, you're going to. Because you so believe that your Savior can move mountains and that He's mighty to save. I mean, could you imagine if we really believed everything we just sang? Could you imagine if we truly believed that? You had a fight with your wife. She's turned into a spoiled brat. You guys have more bad days than you do good days, and you believe some insane thing like all you have to do is pray with her, and that'll turn everything around. That if you just bring her to the Lord, God will fix her. Imagine, ladies, if life was so difficult, your man has become such a pill. Angry all the time, silent, doesn't share nothing, know his feelings, he's shut down. Imagine if you truly believed the more godly you got, the more jealous he'd become of your relationship with God. Imagine if the meaner he was to you, the nicer you were to him. You're out of your mind. Imagine single brothers and sisters here. If you truly believe that the Bible says it is not good for man to be alone, and that God wants everyone to have a suitable helpmeet, if you really believe that, you wouldn't have to go online to find your mate. You wouldn't have to go from church to church and see if there's any elders. Imagine truly believing that if you're in your 30s or in your 40s or in your 20s and you're single, that it's okay, because when God wants me to be married, I'll be married. You ain't gonna miss the man God has for you. Do you really, truly, absolutely, 100%, without a doubt, believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. Thus, verse 13, King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil. He did evil. Please give me your attention before you read the rest of verse 14. He did evil. Now, why did he do evil? Did he do evil because he didn't, because he made bronze shields out of gold? Because what did he do? Because he's constantly at war with Jeroboam? I mean, what did he do that he did evil in the sight of the Lord? The answer is right before us. Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Jeremiah 17 says what? Anybody? The heart is what? The book of Proverbs says what? That a fool will what? Follow his heart. Because Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't take his heart out and go, you're following God. You know what he did? He took his heart out and he put it on the top of his head and he said, which way should I go? I'm going this way.
Why? Because there's something there I like the look of. I'm going that way because there's something there that I want. Because I'm going that way because he let his heart lead him away from God. That's evil. God says, if you have a husband and he doesn't love God and he wants to leave, you let him go. I've not called you for that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But if he wants to stay, stay with him. But pot's legal. But the Bible says that drugs are witchcraft. But alcohol is legal. The Bible says, do not look at it when it swirls around smoothly in a cup. Do not be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. God's not going to take away my salvation, though. No, he's not. But do you want to be like Rehoboam? At least it was okay in his house. It was okay in his house. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are now written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and Iddo the seer concerning genealogies. And there was wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah his son reigned in his place. How many of you guys knew who Rehoboam was before we started studying him? A few of you Bible geeks like me. Other than that, who the heck is Rehoboam? Died before he was 60 years old. He rested with his fathers, though. Is there anything that he did nothing. Did nothing but make an embarrassment out of his name. That's all he did. He's King David's grandson, for goodness sakes. Solomon's son. I will not let that happen to me. I'm not, guys. I'm looking every day for more ways to serve God, to please God, to give him, to prepare my heart to seek God. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. I'm 51 years old, and I'm looking at the future and saying, I am going to give God more of myself. I'm going to be more kind, more gentle, more loving, more giving. I'm looking at ways, how can I give away more of my money so that when I die, my kids have nothing? You know what? You giggle, but I guarantee if you ask any of my kids, they'll tell you, I don't want none. I don't need none of his money. I'll make my own. I brought them up to know that. They'll make their own money. They don't give it away, Dad. I don't care. But maybe. Did you just quote Louis C.K. in church? That's your husband. Lighten it up. Let's lighten it up a little bit, and that's what I wanted to do. I'm glad. Because the options and the opportunities are yours before you, are ours before us. Read this chapter again. It's only 16 verses. Read it again for yourself later on and look at it over and over again and say, my goodness, this is a picture of my life. I have found myself less and less instead of more and more. I found myself less and less obedient and more and more. I've become an old and crusty Christian. I have mellowed. I talked about this with the men last night, and I'm going to say it again because my wife is here. Do you remember, baby, the first time I watched that video, Tony Campolo, and I came home? I saw this video. It was so convicting. You guys remember that old Tony Campolo video from Urbana 87?
I was so convicted. I was so, my heart was so blown away at the things that this guy just said. I so wanted to start a soup kitchen in my backyard. I want to buy a station wagon and go from town to town. I so wanted to give God more. And even though I was faithful, I went to church every week. Me and my wife served faithfully. We were raising our kids. And there was something about it. I knew it wasn't enough. And I knew we weren't living the best. The Bible says that God has a good will, a permissible will, and a perfect will for your life. And I knew that there was no way I was settling for good when there was perfect ahead of me. No way. No way. And let me tell you what happened. Everybody I met tried to talk me off that wall. Everybody at church. I'm like, man, did you see that video? Oh, man, you got to see. I take people into the room. I made my men's group watch. You got to watch this video. I watched this guy. I'm telling you, he puts it down. No, man, you got to relax. Mellow out. Mellow? Never. Ain't part of me. Ain't going to happen. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but if it's more than 5 years, and you can look around at your life, and you're broke, you're lonely, and you can't think of one crown that you're going to throw down at the feet of the Lord when you get there, then it's time to stop swimming in this pool of sharks, the jellyfish, or the acid rain. Take something out of your life that is distracting, and now put something in your life. We have 3 convalescent homes, 3 houses full of old, lonely, broken, lost people. They have invited us in. You can't beg for an opportunity like this. It's like when that dude said to me today, when is your mother going to come back to our side? Bread, here it is. Yeah, I just quoted Louis C.K. Thank you. As soon as this is bread, he said it. You open a door. Can't run away now. If you've been walking with the Lord for more than 15 years, and now you're looking back and going, I remember when I used to. Every day that you're not stepping up, you're sliding back. That's, who wrote Mere Christianity? Anybody read that book, Mere Christianity? C.S. Lewis. Amazing book. That'll change your life too. It's a sad scripture. It's such a sad scripture because as I read it, I looked at it and I said, this is the last thing I want to tell you guys. This makes up the majority of the people in the church. Majority of people in the church. They're saved and miserable with it. They're saved and doing nothing. Okay, the Bible says the power that raised Christ from the dead. Dig this. There's this power, this force, terrible description, but use it. This force, if you will, that exists. The day you accept Christ as your Savior, it comes up and takes residence. You are what the Bible calls sealed. This is why I talk about not being able to lose salvation, because the day you accept Christ as your Savior, you are sealed. The Bible says, skum, you're sealed with this power. The same power that when Christ was dead, the faith that he had to believe that when he died, he'd raise himself up, lived in him. And there he is dead, and all of a sudden he just goes, no, I don't think I'm going to stay dead. That power, the Bible says, lives in us. And you know what we're doing with it?
I'm not offending people. I don't want to offend people. I heard this message at church, and it said that if you're really quiet and you don't share your faith a lot, that's okay because God made you that way too. And that you're allowed to be a quiet and calm person. You don't have to be all crazy. That's a true story. We have a sister in the Lord, and she is so fearful, so afraid, and so quiet. But a pastor in the church one time told her through his teaching that it's okay because that's just how you are. I was one time, I had rented a car. I don't listen to radio. I'm not a radio guy. I was rented a car one time, and I was going through the station. It was a Christian station. I was like, oh, man, it's good. It was not Moody. And in it, there was a woman on there telling moms, don't let anybody convict you if you're not reading your Bible every day. You have enough to do. You have kids. It's okay if you don't read your Bible every day, and you shouldn't feel bad about that. And I listened. I said, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then these moms are calling, oh, thank you so much, because I always feel bad, and my husband tells me this, and the pastor says that. And I said, like, I couldn't take it. So I called up, and I said, are you surprised? I called out and I said, please, could I talk to the moron who's talking on the radio right now? Oh. And they're like, yes, do you have a question? And I'm like, yes, I have a question. I'm like, how in the world can you tell people such an unbiblical premise? What is wrong with you? And the woman, now I'm not on the radio, she didn't put me on the radio. She said, where does the Bible say you have to read your Bible every day? And I was like, how many scriptures you want? You want the Lord's picture where it said daily bread, woke up early every day and sought the Lord? They had to find, I mean, how many? I can give you dozens of scriptures. Tell me. Well, that's your opinion. Thank you very much for your call. Click. I drove down to the station. I didn't drive to the station, but let me tell you what Tony Campolo said yesterday. My heart grieved because there was people probably listening who probably went, whew. When you help people fight, when you help people ignore the conviction of the Lord, oh my God, don't be surprised. Huh? Dude, it's true. It's better that a millstone will hung around your neck and you're cast in the sea than you call one of these little ones who love him to stumble. So, I'm not trying to come down on anybody, but I am trying to come on out of this. Come on out of this. I don't know what it is that is in your life that you've disobeyed, but your life is awaiting blessings. God is sitting up in heaven going like this. Come on, I got this for you. Come on. Will you see what I got for you? Come on. Come on. No, if you do that, I can't bless you. No, don't sleep with that idiot. He's stupid. He's dirty. And then 3 months. God, I just can't seem to get along with my boyfriend. Now, this is me, not God. God doesn't do that. God goes, I forgive you, sister, but you can't, if you don't lose the loser, I can't bless your relationship. Does God really say that? That's exactly what he says. I told you, I cannot bless a relationship. I cannot bless finances. I cannot, God cannot. No sooner, no matter how much I pray, will this Bible, I pray, if God is God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then against all will, against all law, make this Bible float. Why didn't he just make that Bible float? Because all those things were true. Now I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me later for taking his name in vain. That was horrible.
But I was just trying to illustrate a point to you. God's not going to break the law that he put in place. No sooner is he going to break the physical laws nor the spiritual laws. If you take a gun and put it in your mouth and pull the trigger, you're expecting God to jam the gun for you? You're expecting the thing not to shoot? Well, I prayed beforehand. You are taking a spiritual gun and you put it in your mouth and you're saying, I don't need to pray with my wife. We'll get along just fine. I don't need to abstain from, it's okay if I, okay. That's what Rehoboam did. And as soon as things went bad, he came running back. God blessed him, and he did it again. Okay, I'm done. I beat this up already. I just so want you guys to be blessed. I could tell you all the things that have gone on in my life in the last few years. Death of my brother and my father, my mom coming to live with us. Not that that's a tragedy or anything. It's just all these things that have gone on, financial woe and burdens, things that are none of your business. But nothing has taken my joy. Not just my wife's joy, but the joy that's in my heart that says, you know what, God, you know, last thing, and I hope this is the last thing. I realized that I really haven't mourned for my father. I've never sat down and wept and cried, and I never had that, like my dog died, I cried. But my dad, I didn't. I thought, why? And I started like talk myself, maybe I should be really upset about that. Well, it's because you weren't real close, or you know, it's because we hadn't seen him. No. You know why I haven't wept and cried convulsively? Because my father ain't dead. He just moved. Do you understand I believe that? Do you understand how much I believe my brother, I'm going to see him again? I believe that. Well, he's not in New York anymore. He's in heaven. Two totally different places. They might as well be as far away because I ain't going to New York anytime soon. But I see him again. Can't call him on the phone right now, but I can certainly pray and ask God to give him a message for me. Do you believe that? I believe that wholeheartedly. There's no doubt about it in my mind. So why should I be upset? Well, I'm going to miss him. But he ain't in pain no more. Do you believe this? How real is this to you? And I'll suggest to you, it's only as real as what you're putting into it. Spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time in worship, spending time in church, spending time sharing your faith. It's only as real as that. I think every minister has a burden that his people really get it. Anybody here that's discipled somebody else, it's the saddest thing when somebody don't get it and they leave and it don't. It's like you have that power and you just walked away from it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the example that Rehoboam set. And even only in his 50-some-odd years of life, left such a legacy of failure. God, may we not leave a legacy of failure. May we become vessels of honor. And I pray for any of my brothers or sisters here that are not experiencing the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord, and all the fruits of the Spirit. I today pray that this message is convicting enough to bring them out of the darkness, to either run away so far from you or to run to you with everything they got, and they would not live in mediocrity anymore.
Bless us, God, in the things that we do. Reveal to us where our steps you want to lead, not where we want them, where you want them. Thanks, God. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.